The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today, we are joined again by John O'Malley. John was a career federal government employee. He worked for the Department of the Air Force, Agriculture, EPA, the Bureau of the Census, the Department of the Army, the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and the Food and Drug Administration. He's been a candidate for office, and he's been an outspoken 9/11 truth activist for a number of years. I love bringing John on the show, and with everything that's going on right now in the world, I think John is a great voice to hear. The world needs John O'Malley right now. So, John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, here we are, 2020. I'm going to have you talk about your yearly outreach to CPAC in a little while here. But I want to just get your overall thoughts on 9/11 truth in this particular year with so much going on. What do you think about all of it right now?
Well, one of the problems we have to deal with is now that it's been almost 20 years, the 9/11 issue has lost some of the immediacy that it had, say, back certainly before 2005. And some of the people that we talk to when we do outreach will say something like, well, you know, I was just a baby back then, and they think that it does not relate to them. Now, of course, one of the ways we can get around that is to try to explain to them that the complete censorship of any mention of Building 7 in newspapers, magazines, radio stations, TV stations, the movies for almost 20 years shows us that we have an extremely controlled press. And when you combine that with NSA spying on Americans based on a lie, the Patriot Act still on the books based on a lie, TSA still in force based on a lie, Homeland Security, a cabinet-level federal department based on a lie, continuous attacks on the Bill of Rights based on one lie after another. When we tell them these things, I think we help to bring back or increase the sense of immediacy or urgency of what is being done to our country. So different people in the 9/11 truth movement do different things. Some people do the technical approach. They will try to convince the scientists at NIST of what really happened. Some people will run for office. Some people will try to use the internet or the alternative news. What we do, and what I do, and some of the other people in the DC group do, because of where we live, we try the political route, and we try to present the evidence to people who are in office, political office, or running for political office. And that's one of the reasons that we go to CPAC every year. Now, CPAC, I think the acronym is the Conservative Political Action Conference, which is a very large event that is held in D.C. every year, normally around maybe February, March time frame. And it's held in a very large convention center that's right on the D.C. Beltway. Now, these people who show up at this event are from the Republican side of the political spectrum. And one of the things we try to do is we try to present the evidence to try to convince and change the minds of people who are politically active, because they're active. One thing we've learned is when we've convinced people who are not active, all they do is sit home and watch TV. They really don't do anything. So convincing a politically active person who is by their very nature the kind of person who does not just sit home and watch TV, these are people who go out and do things. They run for office. They volunteer in political campaigns. They donate money. They are active. And, of course, we are trying to do outreach to both parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, and also the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, and any party we can get into. Now, the CPAC event makes it easy for us to get to the people on the Republican side of the divide. And a lot of us believe that this charade of a two-party system is really nothing more than a divide-and-conquer system. So we are not partisan. And I think we try to avoid being partisan, because as soon as you do something that's partisan, you will alienate the other side. So I think it's very important for us to not be partisan. The 9/11 operation was obviously planned, condoned, and continues to be covered up by both political parties, who many of us believe that the two major parties are really two faces of one organization. So CPAC, it's very large. I mean, there's thousands of people, and the people who go there are politically active. So we go there, and we present the evidence. Now, we do not have a table there. We are very sure that we would not be allowed to, and the tables are not cheap. Most of these events, if you get a table, just getting a table could be several thousand dollars. And the problem with having a table is you wind up in the position of preaching to the choir, and we don't want to waste the time preaching to the choir. We would prefer to preach to the heathen. We want to present the evidence to the people who think we are crazy, and do it in such a way that they come away from the engagement thinking that, well, maybe those truthers are not crazy, because they appear to be sane and they are giving me very logical evidence, and maybe I should check into this. That's our goal. So now, most of these political events, and one thing to remember is there are two national conventions that are usually held in the summer every 4 years. But in addition to that, local parties, both the state parties and the county parties, party organizations, also have conventions. So, for example, in your state, the Democrats and the Republicans have a state convention that you can go to. And usually there is no cost. All you have to do is walk in, and most of these conventions are kind of like a big party. You can walk up to people and just start up a conversation, and eventually you can turn the conversation around to, well, one technique that many of us have used is, and this seems to work with Republicans very well, is to talk about the controlled press, because people respond to that. A lot of people sort of have an innate subliminal awareness that the press is controlled, especially the people on the Republican side. And then when you're there, one thing you always want to do is ask them for their business card. One thing about Republicans is they all have business cards. Now that you've got their business card, you have their email address. So you can turn the conversation over to, you know, the controlled press and Building 7, and you want to make you want to make sure to be polite and pleasant. And if they start to try to get into an argument with you or become physically aggressive, just move away. A lot of us have the view that there are some people who are so hopeless that they are a waste of time. So don't waste your time on them. Move along to the next person. A lot of people already are awake, so spending time on them is also a waste of time. The people that we want to get to are the people in the middle. And when we go out and do these things, we are, in a sense, making a sales call. We are presenting a sales pitch. We are doing what is called in the sales business as prospecting, except we are not selling a product. We're selling an idea. And we have to do it one-on-one, mostly because we don't control the controlled press and the controlled media. And in addition to the state conventions, there are county conventions. For example, your local Republican Party or Democratic Party and Green Party and Libertarian Party, they will very often have two county conventions a year in the county where you live. And they're normally free. All you have to do is walk in. You can get on the Architects and Engineers website. You can order brochures. Now, on these conventions, just like CPAC, there usually is a big room where very often candidates running for office or office holders make a lot of long, boring speeches, and I wouldn't waste my time in that room. There's usually another room that's usually a big room, and you have tables in rows. And there are various organizations that are associated with that particular political party. For example, at CPAC, that's what you have. On the second, the upper floor, you have the big room where the people make the long, boring speeches. And that's what you will see if you watch CPAC on C-SPAN TV. That's what you'll see. Below that, in this, it's a very large hotel convention center. It's very large. Below that, you have another room. That's a very large room where they have the tables. And in this room, you have all of the organizations that you would expect to have at a Republican gathering. You have the Right to Life people. You have the Second Amendment people. You have the flat tax, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what I do and what we do is we will just start at one end sequentially and go from table to table to table. And as in any sales pitch, it's important to establish rapport with your prospect to get to know them. This is when, you know, you're on friendly terms and you can get your ask them for their business card. Most people, if you ask them for their business card, they take it as a compliment because it's telling them that you think that they are, you know, of some importance. And then you can turn the conversation over to, you know, one thing we can use is the controlled press as a segue into Building 7 censorship, you know. And this is where you have to kind of follow the conversation as the conversation goes. And most people are polite, but once in a while you find someone who really can't handle it. I had a experience where I went to a county fair, and this was during an election year. One of the reasons to go to county fairs during election seasons or election years is that very often the candidates will be there, and more importantly, their volunteers, their staffers will be there, and you can walk right up to them. You can give them a CD, you can give them a brochure, you can buy these CDs and brochures on the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. They're not that expensive, and you can buy them in bulk. And depending upon, you know, how many you buy, they will last you for a long time. You can even download the things and print them on your own printer if you want to. Whatever works for you. But I was at one of these county fairs, and I go to both sides. I go to the Republican side, and I go to the Democratic side. And in this case, I went to the Democratic side. And now, we live in Maryland, so this was the Frederick County Fair, the county fair where they have, you know, the sheep and the cows and all that stuff. And I talked to the guy who was the head of the Democratic committee for Frederick County. And that's the only time in my life when I actually was concerned that someone might haul off and hit me. I don't think he would have done that, because it would not have been very socially acceptable. But he was, oh my God, this guy was, that's the only time I've ever really said, well, very nice to meet you, and I hope you have a nice day. And I kind of backed away from him. But, you know, most of the time, people are very nice. People are very polite. You don't have to worry about any kind of harassment. And I've actually had cases. I had one case. This was another time. This it was a young lady, and she was from some political organization from Texas, and she was really nasty to me when I started bringing this up. And about a week later, she called me up, and she was very nice. She was very pleasant. Wanted to know how I was, and I presented her the evidence again, and I got her email address, and I sent the evidence to her via email. So I don't know what happened, but I think what happens a lot is, say that we, say with this young lady, okay, and she looks at me, and I'm an old geezer. I'm an old retired guy, and she was very nasty. And then she probably talked to one of her, you know, friends about, you wouldn't believe what this old guy was trying to tell me about 9/11. And her friend said, well, he was right. Don't you know about Building 7? And that may have turned her. And so that may have been why she called me up and wanted to know more. So even when we present the evidence to people and they react in a negative way, that actually can set in motion a set of events that will wake them up. For example, in D.C., we had a float in the 4th of July parade. And you know, we would get everything from some people. A lot of people would give us the thumbs up, and because they were awake, they knew that what we were saying was true. And then some people would give us, you know, boos. And of course, whenever you are in the sales business, which I kind of think we are in a way, selling our idea, you have to have a thick skin. And if you don't have a thick skin, you have to go through the process of presenting things that some people are not comfortable with, and that will help thicken your skin. So when we do sales calls, our skin becomes thicker. So what I think happens with these parades is some of the people, you know, on the 4th of July, the parade is usually in the morning. Then in the afternoon, very often there are family cookouts or family barbecues. And then there'll be some guy who'll, you know, go to this family barbecue, and he'll say, you wouldn't believe these crazy people that had a float in the parade that said 9/11 was an inside job or whatever. And then his nephew, who's an engineering major at the university, will tell him, Uncle Joe, those people are right. Don't you know about Building 7? And so my point is, even when we get looked at or maybe even yelled at, we set in motion a series of events so that that person who kind of yelled at us a little bit may wake up. And many of us truthers, when we first were told by, it could have been a friend or, you know, our a relative or whoever, our response was, you are crazy. But then later we found out that our relative, our neighbor, coworker, whoever, who told us this stuff was not crazy. And we had to go through a process of being absolutely horrified that this could have happened in our country. And then if our curiosity was awakened and we started to do the research, we got to that point where we said those three little words, oh my God. And many of us have been through that. And as an American, you have a responsibility as an American citizen to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You have to do that. It is a requirement of being a citizen of the U.S. And that's what we are trying to do. And if we don't do it, we are headed for tyranny. And, you know, do people want their grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be forced to live in a country where the Bill of Rights has been abolished? Well, I don't think so. So that's why we need to do what we're doing. We need to save our country because this stuff is happening on our watch.
And I want to jump in real quick and just mention to our audience, a lot of craziness happening on in this world, and if you just sit there silently and say, oh, it was 20 years ago, oh, what does it matter? You know, I'm not going to make a difference. Then these other people who are politically active right now are going to have more of a say in what happens in your life than you are. And I think the most important issue is 9/11 truth. I think it pulls the wool from over the eyes of a lot of people and makes them question some of these sources that they're following these days. And you can do this. You could still reach out to your congressman. Easiest way to do it is try to set up a meeting with members of our staff in your congressman's office. We have instructions on how to do that at ae911truth.org. If you need advice, write to us, congress@ae911truth.org, and we will help you out with that. We try to make this as easy as possible, so I want to get this plug in there because this is what we're doing now, and these meetings are going better than they used to 10 years ago. Now, John, we got about 7 minutes left, and I want to know, in terms of politics, because that's where you focus a lot of your work on, I see the political landscape is changing. Now, I don't like to get political on the show. I try not to let my own beliefs bleed through on here, so I'm just going to lay it out the way that I see it. You have on the left a situation where Bernie Sanders twice tried to become president, and I see the Democratic mainstream as trying their best to sandbag him despite having a popular movement behind him and giving us Joe Biden. And on the other side of this, I see Donald Trump and split from the Republicans that we are used to the point where you have people like George W. Bush, the guy who was president when 9/11 happened, whose administration we all look to when we start thinking about complicity. People like him, people like Mitt Romney now who are saying they're going to go against Donald Trump because they don't like him. So you're seeing the faces of both sides of this paradigm shifting in a way. And to me, I see this as a good thing, because let's just look at the right for a moment. You have people who, you know, they're going to stick to their side of it no matter what. And so it's horribly offensive to think that there could be anything more about 9/11 than they were told, because that was their guy. But now if they've kind of turned against George Bush because they've taken this new side of the Republican Party, suddenly they don't have that emotional connection anymore. Suddenly it's no longer their guy. They can look at it more openly. And the same thing, too, with the left. You know, people who have been turned off from the mainstream Democrats. What do you think about those thoughts I just shared?
Well, I believe that the two-party system is one organization running two disinformation campaigns. And in both parties, there is almost a seething civil war that I've seen. And now, because I've been politically active in Maryland, we saw in the Democratic primary of 2016 that they were running an operation to rig the election to prevent Bernie Sanders from winning the Maryland primary. And the one thing that we learned from this is that the Maryland State Board of Elections is corrupt. And the judges who made the decisions regarding the lawsuits that followed that primary are also corrupt. Because when a Maryland state judge writes an opinion where the only possible explanation of his opinion is that this is just another one of those corrupt Maryland judges, then you have to assume it's just another one of those corrupt Maryland judges. So the one thing we've seen when we've gone to, you know, present the evidence to these politicians who are very good when it comes to acting dumb, is that the politicians don't care about what the voters think. The politicians care about the people who control the voting machines. The amount of chicanery that goes on in these rigged elections is far greater than I ever imagined. And now I'm not speaking either for or against, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary. I'm very nonpartisan. But in the 2016 election, the one candidate could turn out 30,000 people three times a day in these huge rallies, where there would be lines like miles long of people who couldn't even get in. The other candidate could barely get 30 in a room once a week, but yet we were told it was a very close election. Those two things are mutually contradictory. So, when you look at the corruption surrounding 9/11 and the censorship over the controlled press, it's not surprising that the election of 2016 was just as corrupt as the election of 2000. And when we go out and talk to these political parties, the partisans in both parties about the vote stealing, the Republicans say that the Democrats steal elections. And the Democrats say the Republicans steal elections. And they're both right, because they both do it. So this is our democracy is in really bad shape. And the primary way that the puppet masters maintain their control over these rigged elections is by using the controlled press to tell us that we have, you know, the most free and fairest elections in the world, which would be hilarious if it was not so sad.
Yeah, it's hogwash. I think the main issue is that corruption. I mean, I think that there are two sides, but at the same time, it's a false paradigm, because we think it's just those sides, so you either go with this corrupt person or that corrupt person, and because of all of this corruption, this environment is created where you can't talk about scientific facts and evidence proving that these buildings were brought down in controlled demolitions. I mean, luckily, we still have a First Amendment, and we had an internet. We know it's being censored more and more, so we're going to have to work harder to get the information out there. But I think these splits within both parties, whether you agree with one side or not, it's a sign that people are realizing there's a problem with what we were served before. And unfortunately, we are out of time, John, but I thank you so much for all your work, and thank you for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
Well, thank you.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Say have a great week. Good luck.